is a celery die. Extra!
Sales red meat. That's what it is. Red meat that you can take out into the street 1 minute after you hear it and turn it into money.
In a New York minute?
No, actually, Jenny, in a Jersey minute. And today's Sell or Die Extra is brought to you by...
Jeffrey, what's that in your coffee cup?
What do you think it is, Jen? It's Death Wish coffee. It's the only coffee I drink. Death Wish is the world's strongest coffee, and the world's strongest salesperson needs the world's strongest coffee.
Jeffrey and I drink it, and diehards, you need to be drinking it too. It'll help you wake up and smell the order forms. They have 100% no bullshit money back guarantee, so go get your first bag or first box of K-Cups of the world's strongest coffee at deathwishcoffee.com.
So what does an order form smell like? It's Friday, and that can only mean one thing. It's time for the best of Sell or Die.
The best nuggets of sales wisdom every week, all in one place.
A sales slap in the face. A sales refresher.
I feel refreshed.
I can tell. And if you want to go back and listen to the full episodes, we've made it easy. There are links to each of the episodes right in the show notes.
If you love the podcast, if you're a true seller diehard, and you haven't given us a 5-star review on iTunes yet...
What are you waiting for?
Seriously, Friday is the best day to do it. It helps us so that we can help you.
It's time for the best of the best, the cream of the crop, the creme de la creme, sales grade A red meat. It's time
to sell or die.
And processes and structuring and operations. So I can do it all. I can do both and then build out the sales. So we're templating as we go.
So we have a lot of entrepreneurs that listen to our show that are doing the same thing, like Jeffrey just said, like building it and laying the foundation at the same time. What do you recommend to them? They might not have the same... background that you have. How do they do it all?
Get some good people under you as quickly as you can. But be smart with those people. Make sure you're vetting them. Make sure they're bringing something to the table. I learned this earlier in the year. No one rides your coattails. Okay, so if there's something that you need, make sure you're fulfilling your need, but they're also bringing more. So it's not the power of one, it's the power of many, right? So that's really important, I think. Number one, I think that you have to take time out to make sure. So I said we're managing our growth. We really are. There is a whole method to the madness, even though we're growing extremely fast. And one of the things that we're doing is I actually pulled back on our winter launches. So we'll have our Phoenix and our LA book launch in the winter, but that's it. So I'm going to take those couple of months to really refine and build and figure out where those gaps are. So yeah, we're building as we're going, but we're taking processes or taking downtime to make sure that we're like, okay, is this still working? What else do we need? The other thing I did is I just instituted an advisory team.
Ooh.
So I have an advisory team.
I just wrote down board of advisors. Because there are people who have different visions.
Exactly.
Than you.
And leverage your geniuses.
Yeah.
You know? So that's the big thing. So I just instituted that. We have our first Zoom meeting next week. And it's made up of two ambassadors that have already closed their books. Arden is actually going to be one of them.
Cool.
We have a photographer because, as you see, the pages have to be done a certain way.
Yeah.
So we're building out the photographer.
They have to be done... in a female way.
Yeah. It's very sophisticated and glam. The whole thing is glam in your zone. That's what we termed it. So we'll have a photographer. We have our editors. We have our big team. And then they're from all the different markets, too. And then there's me. And I get to override them all.
I'm not on the board of advisors yet.
Well, I don't know. Are you going to wear a wig?
I don't have a wig, but I have worn a dress. There was a magazine in Charlotte called Skirt.
I remember that one.
And I was the second guy.
Oh, wow.
To be photographed. The first guy was the mayor. I couldn't beat the mayor.
No.
Right. But I would challenge you that the word diverse is played. And it should be the word inclusive because you are it's an exclusive group that's inclusive.
I love that.
You have the top 10 people in the city that everyone knows. I know their names.
Yeah.
I mean, I live here for 30 years. I know everybody. I know the top 10. And I didn't see any of them in the book, by the way.
That's good.
Or the people that I know. Okay. I didn't see them in the book. But I challenge you that there's probably another 50 that would love to be in the book that are easily qualified for the book, that want to be in the book, that can't get in the book. And I don't know whether they're frustrated or pissed off or they deserve it or they don't deserve it or they have the. So you have to look at that as the how much am I leaving on the table versus what is what am I hoping to gain from this group and how am I going to build this group?
One of the things I actually decided to do recently as well is, and I'm highlighting a lot of this like through our Phoenix market where I live, but we decided to open up our tribe. So we now have the women in the know. So you're the in the know woman. You're like physically in the know and you're in the know. But then we have our tribe women too. And so quarterly, I'm hosting huge mix and mingles, big ones, very styled,
meet
very
the tribe. Carried.
Yep. Meet our women and come on in. And that is where we're doing, you know, you pay, if you're in the know, you never pay for those because it's part of your membership accolade or whatever. But any woman who wants to align, and you can bring your girlfriends and it's like $30 to $40 a ticket.
Diehards, say hello to David C. Baker.
So tell me about having too many competitors in the marketplace.
Yeah, because the problem is when you have too many competitors, then you're essentially giving all the power or the control back to the buyer because they can find so many viable substitutes for the expertise that you have. That we know all that. That's obvious. One of the issues I wanted to clarify in the book through research was how many. So if we're walking, we're at an undifferentiated place where people can find all kinds of substitutes for us. As we walk down this path to become more differentiated, when does the green light come on? So we say, okay, now there are the right number of competitors. We keep walking, we keep walking. When does the red light come on again? So where's the beginning and where's the end of that range? And exactly. And, you know, writing a book to tie all this together is one way to set yourself apart in the marketplace. But essentially, we have to know, like, how many competitors do we need? Like, if we have no competitors, that means we don't have a marketplace, right? But if we have too many competitors, then we have a crowded marketplace and we don't have any control in that process.
So in your book, you have a formula for figuring out how many competitors are the right amount. What you don't have to give us a secret formula.
No.
But it,
I'll tell you.
Give us a little insight.
But is somebody, like, do they go buy the book if I tell you the number? I'll tell you the number. Okay. So now this is in a professional service, professional expertise sort of setting, right? I'm not speaking to a B to C environment or something like that.
Okay.
The right number of competitors is somewhere between 10 and 200. And if that's where you start, you say, okay, if there are more than 200, we're too easily replaceable. If there are fewer than 10, then there's not a large enough market, not enough opportunity for us, unless there's one little asterisk here, unless we happen to be first to market, which is a pretty dangerous place to be because most of those folks don't actually succeed long term. So 200 to 10. Now, sometimes that isn't enough information, in which case we have to define the prospects that we have too. And ideally, these two will kind of come together in the formula. The number of prospects is somewhere between 10,000 and 2,000. So 2,000 and 10,000. My research showed you cannot assume that you're going to lock up more than about 1% of the competitive marketplace. And most professional experts need somewhere between 15 to 25 clients. So you can see how all that math works together. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, totally.
So when you're writing your book, how many people are you writing your book for?
Ah, see, I'm not trying to be an expert advisor to them. This is more of a, it's just more of a transactional relationship with them. So I'm trying to write the book. Goodness, I would love for 100,000 people to buy it. It's only been out a year, so not that many people have bought it, but that's my hope for sure. not as many as, well, there's some, there was some sorry book called The Little Red, I can't remember, what was the name of it?
Oh, yeah. Totally sorry.
I think it's at like 200 copies were sold or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Just a couple million.
It was a bomb.
It was a bomb, yeah.
I look at that marketplace, and that book came out 14 years ago.
Right.
It's still in print. It has not been changed one word other than the copyright or the date of publication. Mm-hmm. I think it's now in its 26th or 27th printing.
Right.
Which is pretty amazing for a sales book.
It is amazing, yeah. How much of that was being in the right place at the right time? How much of that was brilliance?
It's Motivation Monday, and boy, do we have a really big show. Well, that brings us to the Reddit question.
All right, let's do it.
It's from Sydney Sharp 12, and he or she writes, probably it's a she because it's S-Y-D. I'm new into the sales world, and I'm terrified of cold calling. Mm. I have listened to many people explain how to do, what not to do, etc., etc. But getting the nerve to do it and face the rejection is the worst. We are B2B sales. I'm trying to schedule an appointment to explain the tools and resources that we have for companies and see if there's a potential for a consulting relationship. If someone was cold calling about just setting an appointment, not buying anything, would that be reason enough to have a meeting? Would it keep you on the phone? And the answer is yes and no. If you're boring about it, well, we just want a meeting. We're not trying to sell you anything. I swear to God, that's not a reason. But if there is something that you can strike, well, I don't know what the outcome of your consulting would be, but that's where you need to start. It may be greater productivity. It may be internal morale. It may be the loyalty of customers or employees. But whatever the reason is, you start there. You start by asking a simple question of, what does it cost you to lose one employee? What does it cost you to lose one customer? And that way, you have immediately engaged the person in thought about your very outcome.
Yeah. And also, before you even think about what you're going to talk about, you got to work up your guts. Come on. Yeah. Getting the nerve to do it and face rejection is the worst. You're in sales.
Hang on.
You're going to get...
The reason that she's nervous about it is she doesn't know what to say. And if you know what to say and you practice it to a point where you're comfortable with it and then you try it a couple times and it actually works, then your self-confidence will build. She's chicken more than she is anything else, but she doesn't know what to say. That's why she's chicken.
Well, yes. And if she, okay, so know what to say is one thing, but also you got to change your mindset, because if you go in there feeling nervous, even if you know what to say and the questions you want to ask, and you feel nervous, the person on the other end of the phone is going to feel your nervousness. The person on the other end of the phone is not going to want to talk to you and is just going to hang up or say no thanks. Like, when you're not confident and you go into a sales meeting, people can smell it. People can smell the not confident salesperson.
I would like to ask somebody to follow, you know, call somebody up on the phone cold and you say, how many people hang up on cold callers? And this is not a cold call. This is like a friendly call. So I just want to start out by saying, please don't hang up on me. But I mean, there's ways that you can get into it creatively that will actually create engagement. But you have to practice it. You have to believe that it's okay. And your company needs to be supporting you. It sounds like you get zero support from your company.
Mm-hmm.
And so if your employer is a cheap bastard and won't even figure out a way to help you, maybe the best thing to do is go work for the competition. But the bottom line is, if you're trying to engage people and you're alone and you're new, A, you need something to say that will give you self-confidence, and B, you need the support of your company.
So Kenwall says, I love the I'm not trying to sell you anything opening.
Oh, God.
Liar. Exactly. Yeah. Like, the second someone says that to me, I'm not trying to sell you anything, but I'm like, ugh, you're trying to sell me something. Yeah. Go away.
Yeah. Thanks for lying on your first sentence.
Like, what people want to know, and you have to figure out how to communicate this so quickly, is how if the answer is yes, how you can help them. That's all they're going to care about.
Cold calling is the ultimate sales in a New York minute. because you have about 15 seconds to connect with somebody or not.
Yeah, for sure.
And don't think that the first line is, how are you today? It is not. That's the last thing I would ever want you to say as a salesperson. I'm fine. What's your point? This has been a Seller Die Extra. If you like it and you like the show and you like all the information that's inside of it, go to thegittimerlearningacademy.com and subscribe. What are you doing? What's this noise?
I'm going to gittimerlearningacademy.com to subscribe.
Way to go. Way to go. You can also subscribe to Sell or Die on Overcast if you have an iPhone. Or if you don't, go to the store and get an iPhone. Or if you don't, go to iTunes or Stitcher. And come back every single Tuesday for a full Sell or Die episode with expert sales analysis that will help you do the one thing you're hoping for, make more sales.